It scared them to see that. Did you ever get somebody? We had this couple come into our church from a Baptist church, and he wouldn't come back anymore because he said, I don't want to be in a service where people faint. And, you know, like sometimes you pray for people and they fall out in the spirit. I mean, it doesn't happen all the time, but sometimes it does, you know. And it's not meant to scare people, but it'll scare somebody that has the wrong spirit, won't it? Yeah. So, I mean, the devil caused these people to be, they were afraid. And so they that told them how it befell him was possessed with a devil and also concerning the pigs. And they began to pray because the devil had controlled that whole area. Pray, please get out of here. Just go away from here. So point number one is we can see that devils control territories. Would that be point number two? How many points you got so far? Can we call it number one? Okay. Let's go to point number two over in Ephesians chapter 2. Sometimes I throw an extra point in there, so I was just checking to see. Ephesians chapter 2 says, I love verse 1, and you. If you take out the italicized words, and you. You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were. He raised Jesus up, and he raised you up. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins. It says, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air that now works in the, it says children there, but it's the Greek word weos, sons of disobedience. He said, so in other words, spirits influence behavior, don't they? It says here that the spirits are working through people. We need to understand that spirits work through people. That's why you don't ever get offended with people. Right? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And so sometimes people will come against you, but you got to understand that it's not people. They're being controlled. They're being manipulated by an unseen spirit, and they've yielded themselves, and they're being used. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And look at this, how they can influence people. I love these verses. Verse 7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now this was, but look at this, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they, if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It wasn't the Roman soldiers that killed Jesus. It wasn't the Sanhedrin or the religious Jews that killed Jesus. They were instruments. But what I like about this, and it was the devil that did it. We understand that the devil used them to get it done. But because it says here, if they had known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. If they had known that when he died, you died. If they had known that when he rose, you rose. If they had known that, they wouldn't have done that, but they didn't know it. But Isaiah 53:10 says it pleased the Lord to bruise God, so to bruise Jesus, so that he could. Matter of fact, Hebrews 2:10 says that his purpose, the captain of our salvation, was to come to restore many sons back to glory. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 says, but Jesus came to restore you back to the original intent. The original intent of man is found in Genesis chapter 1. Let them have dominion. Let them dominate. Let them rule. He said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and then let them have dominion. He never said, let us together have dominion. He didn't say it wasn't going to be God and sons. It was going to be you having dominion, dominating your circumstances. That's why in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, when he rose from the grave, he said, all authority has been given unto me. Now go ye, therefore. The authority that he bought back for you so that you could dominate your circumstances, so that you could rule and reign in life. So if you're not ruling and reigning in life, it's just because you don't know enough yet. But if you'll learn it, you'll do it. Amen. If you begin to exercise it, see, that's why he said in James 1:22, don't be just a hearer of the word, but a doer. He said, if you just hear it and don't practice it, you're self-deceived. You just don't want to hear another good message. You want to take a message and apply it. That's where the change comes. So again, it says here that so we can see that number one, that they control territories, and number two, that they influence and use people to do that. Number three is they'll cause delays, and we can find that over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But where there is a vision, there's God's provision. And even if there's been a delay, that doesn't mean you're not going to make your destiny, your destination on time. You know, it doesn't matter how many twists and turns you've been through. You know, you can just check your heart, and if it's still beating, God's not done. It's still working. Amen. You know, and lots of times we want this, you know, God will give you a dream. God gave Joseph a dream when he was 17 years old. He was 30 years old before it came to pass, and really before it started to come to pass. But I mean, it wasn't until chapter 45 when he met with his father and the family again and got restored and all of that. But yet that dream was given to him when he was young. Jacob was given a double portion blessing when he was just young. But 20 years, it took him 20 years. He said, when I left and crossed over this river, he said, all I had was my staff in my hand. When we started New Covenant Ministries, we didn't even have a staff. We didn't even have a car. We've been given so many cars over the years, I could write a book. Cars and motorcycles and stuff. Why? Because we sowed those things and you reap those things. What? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Galatians 6, 7, whatever you sow, you reap. Anyway, he crossed over. He said, I crossed over this river with nothing but my staff in my hand, my covenant walking stick, the stick that I got from my father Isaac, the firstborn, that covenant stick. He said, all I had was that. And he said, now I'm coming back on two companies. It took him 20 years. Abraham, when he was 70 years old, was given a dream. I'll make you the father of a multitude. He was 100 before it came to pass. Why? Because he had to be grown into it. You know, he didn't start off offering up Isaac. He started off saying, no, she's not my wife, she's my sister. You know, so turn to somebody and say, there's hope for you then. First Thessalonians, chapter 2. This is my third point, and I've only got four. Verse 18, Paul the Apostle said, you know what? I would have come to you even once and again, but Satan hindered the Apostle Paul. Do you think he might hinder you? You wouldn't be surprised then if he hindered you. And this word hinder is the word, it's enkoptu. In enkoptu means, it's like if you're pursuing an enemy, back in the day you're pursuing an enemy with your chariots, and they would cut holes in the road, crossways in the road, they would cut ditches in the road, so that to hinder your progress. And so guess what? The storm beat vehemently against the ship. That was a hindrance, wasn't it? And I don't know what happened in your life lately that may be a hindrance, but it's not the end. You know, the bend in the road is not the end in the road. Come on, it's just a bend. You know, if you miss the exit that you were supposed to take, it's back. You don't say, oh, what are we going to do now? My life is over. You don't continue going the wrong way and say, there's just nothing I can do about it. You just back up and take the right turn. How many of you have ever done that? You missed the exit. Did you? You know, you might have got angry, but you didn't quit. Why is it with Christians, they make a mistake and they want to quit? I just can't do it. I just can't do it. Well, just do it. Amen. Just do it. So Paul the Apostle said, I've been hindered. He said, I have been beaten. I've been in storms. I've been imprisoned. He knew what it was like to be hindered, but he didn't stop. He just kept on going. And he kept on to his destiny. Romans chapter 15, but here's another thought for you, because again, Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. He thought he was being hindered, and in fact he was, but he wrote two letters to the church at Thessalonica because he couldn't get there, and now we've got them in our Bible. So he, no, it's like when he took up the 12, you know, remember he fed them with the loaves and the fishes in John chapter 6, and there was 12 baskets left over. I'm telling you, God will pick up every fragment of your life and use it for his glory. Yeah. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how bad it was, God will turn it for good. Thank you, man. So if you got something bad going on, say, I don't know what this is all about, but I know that God is for me, and who can be against me? I'm not afraid, he said. God is on my side. David said, I'm not afraid. God's with me. What can man do unto me? Nothing. So Romans chapter 15, and then we'll get to point number 4. We can go catch some of this today. Romans chapter 15. Verse 22. He said, for this reason, or for which cause also, I have been much hindered from coming unto you, but now I've got no more place in these parts. And having great desire, look at this, underline this, these many years. See, this is not a sprint, people. This is a marathon we're in. Look, I underlined many years twice so that I wouldn't get the urge to quit if things weren't going my way for a long period of time. Many years. See, but you win. See, the only way you can lose is if you stop. Yeah. It's like a game of football. If you fall forward, you'll gain a couple of yards. You know, you just got to keep heading in that direction, right? These many years. And this word, apokuptu, it also means to restrain you and to wear you out. The enemy would like to wear you out, just get you so tired that you'll quit. You just say, what's the use? What is the purpose in this? It doesn't seem to be working. Well, when I came up Loyalist Road and pulled in this yard and saw all the flowers planted out front and everything, and I thought back to coming in here when there was pink insulation, maybe you've been sitting here for a while and you're thinking, nothing much seems to be happening. Let me tell you something, a lot has happened, but God doesn't operate in the realm of time. God operates in space. And it might not seem like it's happening quick enough to you. I'm telling you, stay planted by the rivers of water. You will bring forth your fruit in its season. Your leaf won't wither, and whatever you do will prosper. Even if it doesn't look like it's prospering, God wants you to know it's working right now. I love what he said in Ecclesiastes. He said, the Song of Solomon, it says that I see him behind the lattice work. Well, when you're looking behind the lattice work, you can only get a glimpse now and then. You don't get to see the whole picture when you're looking through lattice work, but every now and again when you get a glimpse, you remind yourself, he's still working in my life. He's still my God. He'll never leave me. He'll never fail me. He'll never forsake me. The last point is demon spirits must obey a higher authority. And I got a bunch of verses, but I'm going to cut it down to one. Luke chapter 4, verse 33. And in the synagogue, there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil. Imagine he was in church. He's a church going devil. The spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. Let us alone. What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Are you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him and said, shut up. Hold your peace is just a nice way of saying shut up. No, but he said, shut up and come out of him. He didn't say, I adjure you. You know, he didn't do the religion. When he said it rebuked him, he didn't say, I rebuke you. He said, come out. Matter of fact, when you read this, it gives you the picture of somebody putting them, when he says, shut up, hold your peace, it's like putting a muzzle on a dog. And what he wants you to understand, you know, Hebrews 1 and verse 14 says that angels were sent to minister unto the heirs of salvation, which puts ministers subordinate to you. Psalm 103 and verse 20 says that angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. The only way that God's word gets a voice, not laying on your coffee table or in the back window of your car, it gets a voice when you speak it out of your mouth. When you speak it out of your mouth, angels move on behalf of those words that you speak. So that Satan at his best was supposed to be your minister. Before he rebelled against God, he would have been in, he would have been a, well, we understand he was a praise and worship leader and all that. Nothing to do with praise and worship here. Okay. This is really good here. I've seen the praise and worship leaders that might have been hooked up. But anyway, that's another story. But what you need to see here is Jesus talked to him like a dog. Shut up and come out of him. And he wants you to be the same way. Your attitude is, you reverence God. You're in awe of God. But the devil, you treat him like he's less than you because he is less than you. Again, greater is he that is in you than he that's in your circumstances. You talk, matter of fact, come with James 4:7, he said, submit yourself unto God. Well, how do I do that? Well, I submit myself unto the word of God, and then I resist the devil, and he, what does he do? He flees from me in terror. Treat him like a mad dog. Treat the devil like a dog, and when you're talking to him, you know, just say, hey, I command you in the name of Jesus, by the power of attorney in Jesus' name, get off of my stuff, get out of my family, get out of my church, get out of my community, I forbid you the right. Romans 8:17 says that I'm an heir of God and the joint heir with Jesus. Psalm 24:1 says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, therefore this is my territory. You know, there's a song that we sing, this land is your land, this land is my land. Sing that. This land is your land, this land is my land. From Buena Vista to Vancouver Island, Satan, get off my turf in the name of Jesus. Satan, get away from my money in the name of Jesus. Satan, get away from my honey in the name of Jesus. Satan, get away from my kids. You have no right to them. I have trained them up in the way that they should go, and now that they're older, they will not depart from it. Well, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't matter what it looks like. Isaiah 49:25 says, you'll contend with those that contend with me and give safety to my children. You said, Lord, in your word in Proverbs 11:30, that the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. You said in Isaiah 54:13 that all of my children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be their peace. That's my confession. Well, it doesn't look like that. I walk by faith and not by sight. I don't need to see it to believe it. See, when you're walking in faith, you see what you believe. When you're walking in the natural, you believe what you see. This is a simple test for you. Are you seeing what you believe? Do you see your unsaved loved ones with their hands up worshiping God? Or do you see them downtown on Saturday night? And didn't tell everybody about us on them down there. No, shut up about that. Begin to talk about what God says about them and realize that you've got authority. Yeah. You don't have authority over them, but you've got authority over him. And he's the one that's blinded those that are living in the dark. See, I'm convinced of this, that if you can get the darkness off people and they can see the Lord, they won't reject them.
That's right.
When they find out, hey, there's somebody that loves me unconditionally, that somebody's not keeping score of my sin, that they really care about me. See, you've got that authority, but it won't work until we take it. It's time for us to rise up and take it. Let's take this land. You know, it's like he said, go in and possess the land. They had to get up and move. Moses said, hey, we wandered around this mountain long enough. God said, Moses, get these people moving. It's time to go in now. They were sitting on hot rocks in the desert, and just over the river was a land of opulence. Just a few steps away, just a few steps of faith away, was everything that God had provided. Ephesians 1:3 says he's already blessed you with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. And he said, you haven't chosen me. I chose you. I chose you to go in and possess the land. Now, all you got, see, you got to go in. And, see, David, the reason why David was a man after God's own heart is he went in and defeated God's enemies. And that's all you and I need to do. We just need to say, you know what? This land, the boldness, this land belongs to God, and I belong to God. And so now every place that the sole of my foot shall tread upon, he's already given unto me. No man will be able to stand before me all the days of my life, from Parliament Hill to the dunghill, from the White House to the outhouse, whatever. Nobody can stand before you all the day. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. He would say it to you this way. As I was with Jesus, so shall I be with you. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Now he said in Ephesians 5, mimic me, verse 1. Begin to act like me. Wake up and arise from the dead and God will give you light. Rise and shine for your light is come and the glory of the Lord is risen up on you. In the world there's a darkness and a gross darkness upon the people, but God's glory shall be seen upon you. God's glory shall be seen upon you. Turn to somebody and say, I see God's glory on you. Hallelujah. And it says that kings and influential people will come to the brightness of your rising. Oh, I felt that strong. Kings and influential people will come to the brightness of your rising. And your heart will reverence and be enlarged, for the abundance of the Gentiles will be converted unto you. In Jesus' name. No, see, what a pastor prays in quiet and private. God Almighty is listening and moving those things into place, even right now, when it doesn't seem like it's... I know he's a pastor, I'm a pastor. It never happens fast enough. It's not just a pastor, it doesn't happen fast enough for you either, does it? But God wants you to know that it is happening, it is taking place. Praise God. So I'm done. I'm not, but I'm stopping to be gracious to you. Pastor Bill.